Hey, it's Will Friedle.
And Sabrina Bryan.
And we're the hosts of the new podcast, Magical Rewind.
You may know us from some of your favorite childhood TV movies, like My Date with the President's Daughter.
And the Cheetah Girls movies.
Together, we're sitting down to watch all the movies you grew up with and chat with some of your favorite stars and crew that made these iconic movies happen.
So kick back, grab your popcorn, and join us. Listen to Magical Rewind on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Brought to you by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Who is there for heroes of the families left behind when a service member or first responder dies or is catastrophically injured in the line of duty? Who helps our country's homeless veterans? And who helps our nation to never forget 9/11? Let me tell you who: the Tunnel to Towers Foundation. The foundation's Gold Star, Fallen First Responder, Smart Home, and Homeless Veteran programs comprise their In the Line of Duty programs. They're all dedicated to honoring our nation's heroes and their families. The foundation's Never Forget programs engage people in 9/11 remembrance across America. Over 80 runs, walks, and climbs a year. Dozens of golf outings. And the Tunnel to Towers 9/11 Institute is educating kids kindergarten through 12th grade to help our nation keep its vow to never forget. More than 95 cents of every dollar you donate to Tunnel to Towers goes to its programs. Never forget the sacrifices of our country's greatest heroes. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at T2T.org. That's T, the number 2T.org.
At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. Whether your pursuit involves a bachelor's, master's, or doctoral degree, GCU's learning environments are designed for supportive networking and collaboration. With over 330 academic programs, GCU provides a path to help you fulfill your dreams. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Buck Sexton Show podcast. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I guess it wasn't transitory after all. The Biden White House is busy trying to spin today's report, which shows U.S. inflation hitting a 40-year high. We'll take a closer look at the numbers and the reaction from the Biden administration in tonight's Hold the Line. Welcome to Hold the Line. I'm Buck Sexton. Let's just dive into the numbers, shall we? When it comes to inflation, this economy, Biden's plummeting poll numbers, Democrats accelerating neuroses and fear over losing power in the midterms. This is what we're up against, friends. This is what we're seeing all over the place. CPI up 9.1% year over year in June. 9.1%. That is a disastrous number for the Democrats. You see that and you say to yourself, hold on a second. So we're spending an average of 9, getting on 10% more for a whole lot of things we really need? Yeah, actually. People are poorer. People have less money. People have less ability to pay their bills, to meet their needs, to save and try to build greater financial stability and freedom for themselves. For example, the prices we're talking about here, year over year, the month of June, gasoline up 59.9%, food up 10%, housing up 5.6%. So your gas is a whole lot more expensive. Your food is considerably more expensive. Even your housing has gone up a bit. And what we've seen here is that it is unlikely that anything is going to change this anytime soon. This could continue on, grinding inflation, which means month after month, the money that you're putting into a bank account will be worth less. It means that the earnings that people have, their actual wages, go less far. Here, for example, you can see that hourly earnings are down 3.6% year over year. So earnings are down. Inflation is up. The cost of everything you need is up. And they want you to believe that this was unforeseeable. That's just not true. You see, this is what happens when people start playing insane games with the money supply and thinking that they can just spend trillions of dollars, that they can tell people to stay home. We'll pay you to not work. That seems like a good idea, except you think, well, what is actually then the basis of the productivity, the goods and services that our money is built on? Where does all this come from? If that is okay, why don't we just print $1 million and give it to everybody? We'll all be rich. We didn't quite do that, but we did run an experiment in running those printing presses while you have a massive drop in GDP and productivity, and now we're dealing with the consequences. Cause and effect. There were many of us in the early days of the pandemic who said, you do not shut down your economy. This is crazy. You don't tell people that their whole industry is on pause. You don't say that they're going to just get checks to work at home when they're not actually working in any meaningful way. That's going to come back to bite you, and we're being bitten real hard right now. That's what's actually going on. Now, the Biden White House doesn't want to have people actually understand this. They want to continue to lie to you, to tell you things that are clearly not true. Here is Vice President Harris, for example, who's saying that the inflation numbers, you know, they don't really reflect the drop in gas prices. Watch.
But it is important to note that these numbers do not fully reflect the recent drop in gas prices. Average national gas prices have fallen every day for nearly 30 days. Since mid-June, prices are down 40 cents a gallon. Fighting inflation is one of our administration's top...
So it's much better than you think they want you to believe. Is anyone really buying that? Anyone really feel like that's what's going on right now? Keep in mind that we could just sit here and run clip after clip, soundbite after soundbite of the top administration officials for this Biden White House, and including many of their economic advisors, including the Treasury Secretary, Janet Yellen, telling us that inflation is not going to be a big deal. It's not going to last very long. It'll be transitory. That was the word. Just breezing in and breezing out. No big deal. Well, that wasn't true, obviously. So why would we think that this buffoon squad would be any better at telling us not only what the future will hold now, but also why should we believe that they have any real idea about how to fix the problem? Why should we think that the Biden White House, which is essentially full of the faculty lounge of some second-tier liberal arts college, why should we think that they actually have any idea what's going to make any of this better? Well, we don't, really. I mean, here is National Economic Council Director Brian Deese saying that the key takeaway from all this is that Congress really needs to pass a bill to build more domestic semiconductors. Watch.
And I just want to underscore, if there's one thing to take away from this report, it's that there is more urgency now than ever in Congress moving to pass a bill to try to build more domestic semiconductors, to try to bring down the price of those goods. You see across this report, things like used cars and new vehicles, those prices holding up. That is not principally driven by demand. It's driven by supply and constrained supply. We know how to solve that. We should have solved that months ago, but we now have a moment. We need to do that. If there's any takeaway from this report, it should be that.
Yes, Congress passing a bill to have more domestic semiconductor production? How's that going to go? Build it? Or no, they're going to have to pay for it, right? So more spending. So the government's going to spend more money, and that's going to help us with the problems we have right now with everything else. I mean, this is an absurdity. And by the way, why not then just pass a bill? If they're going to pass a domestic semiconductor production bill, why not have Congress say, you know what, let's just produce more oil and fossil fuels because that will really help the economy a lot. Oh, the Democrats don't want it. I mean, put aside whether that would work or not. I'm just saying philosophically, they don't want to do that. They think that that's icky, dangerous even. It will destroy the planet. These people are ideologues. And the suffering of the American people economically, psychologically, that comes as a direct result of the bad ideas, the delusional, detached from reality belief system of the prominent Democrats around Joe Biden who are really calling all the shots, of the far left apparatus that effectively runs the Democratic Party these days, doesn't really care at all about the suffering. In fact, many of them, and you've heard John Kerry, for example, the climate change czar, many of them have indicated that they think this period of suffering is really necessary, not because inflation is transitory, but because we are going through a transition, you see. We are going through a transition in our economy away from the yucky, bad CO2 producing, but highly luxurious and incredibly efficient fossil fuel economy, right? Luxurious in terms of what it gives us, the luxuries of life, air conditioning, transport, food, refrigeration, cars, all this stuff, right? They want to move away from that so that we're a society that much more closely resembles what we've seen in recent years in Sri Lanka, where they had massive food shortages because they were pursuing ESG scores and trying to make the climate change crowd and the globalists from Davos happy with the ways that they were destroying their own economy for the climate. We see what's going on, folks. It's not going to get better as long as these lunatics are in charge. We have more on today's inflation report with the president of the Mises Institute, Jeff Dice, when we come back. Right now, I want to tell you about a great deal from my friends at My Patriot Supply. If you needed more proof that we're going to have massive food shortages in the very near future, here it is. Many American farmers have announced that they don't have enough fertilizer because of global supply chain breakdowns. As everybody knows, without fertilizer, you can't grow food. You can expect to see prolonged food shortages and sky-high prices for the next year, at least. What can you do to avoid this nightmare and protect your family? It's easy. Just visit preparewithbuck.com. At preparewithbuck.com, you'll find a special offer. Get $150 off a 3-month supply of long-term emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. Don't skimp. Get one kit for each person in your family. Each My Patriot Supply kit has enough food for 3 solid months per person, providing more than 2,000 calories a day to keep your energy up. So go to preparewithbuck.com today. Save $150 on each 3-month kit you require. More food shortages are coming. Go to preparewithbuck.com. And we'll be right back with more Hold the Line. The left is desperately trying to spin the June inflation report, and nobody's trying harder than New York Times columnist Paul Krugman, who is reliably wrong about everything. In a pair of tweets published shortly after today's report on inflation was released, Krugman wrote, "Today's hot inflation numbers already out of date, not reflecting falling gasoline prices and other factors that have recently gone into reverse. The good news is that I don't think this matters much. Long-term rates that matter for the real economy much more dependent on how high Fed funds eventually go than on the precise path." Nothing to see here. Everything's fine, he seems to be saying. Well, joining me now with reaction to all this and the report today and other things, president of the Mises Institute, Jeff Deist. Jeff, thanks for being with us.
Well, I'm happy to report that Paul Krugman bought his pad in New York City in 2009. At the bottom of the housing market. So I think when he says it's not real, I think he means for himself primarily. He's doing fine.
Yeah, you got to tell me this. How is it possible that we hear, oh, inflation is worse than was expected, inflation is bad, but a Nobel Prize economist, Lib, is trying to tell us it doesn't even matter? I thought this was a thing that everybody agreed matters, at least anybody who has to pay for anything.
Yeah, he's a political guy, and he gets away with it for years and years, decades now, really. But here's what's so interesting. When they talk about 40 years since inflation has been this high, if you go back to the late 70s, early 80s, last time inflation was this high, somewhere around 8-9%. It's probably higher now because of the way we compile it. But nonetheless, if you go back then, our grandparents, our parents, they could get 14%. On a simple 6-month CD. So they were still earning, let's say, 4, 5, 6% above inflation if they were thrifty. So fast forward to today, you're lucky to get much over 2% on that same CD, but inflation's running 9. So I'm not a math whiz, but last time I checked, 2 - 9 = -7. So we're in big trouble here.
Where do you think this is going right now? I mean, I'm seeing some analysts, Wall Street analysts, for example, saying, not only is a recession imminent, we need a full-on recession just to bring the inflation down. Is that what's going on?
Well, it's probably true in the sense that we've had very overheated fiscal and monetary policy, especially since COVID, since about March of 2020. So some kind of pullback is probably necessary, and that's probably going to hurt a lot of people. We're going to see a lot of people, when the tide goes out, aren't wearing any bathing suit, as Warren Buffett put it. So I don't know that there's any way to get past this without pain. We can start there. How much pain and who bears it, I guess, is the question. And so I think that's in large part why Democrats want to talk about abortion. They want to talk about trans. They want to talk about guns. They want to talk about Ukraine, maybe even, but they don't want to talk about this.
Yeah, I mean, what is the Biden administration plan? I keep hearing from sound bites of Joe Biden this promise that they're doing everything that they can to bring down prices. And I always want to ask, of course, I don't get access to the Oval Office to ask these questions, but I want to ask Joe Biden, like, what? I mean, what are they? If anything, I see they might be trying to sneak through in the Senate at the very last minute a bill that would be a whole lot more spending, actually, and raise taxes.
Well, one thing you can do is you can go beg the Saudis to sell you some cheaper oil, which effectively is what he did, even as this new Saudi golf tour is getting all kinds of grief from the woke left sports media. So I think that, you know, there's a little bit of a charm offensive there in Saudi Arabia. Oil is coming down, although in June, the June price hike shows that gas prices went up about 7% during that month. But if oil starts to come down, that'll affect all kinds of prices throughout the economy. Everything is shipped or transported in some manner. So that could be the possible silver lining between now and the midterms for Biden. But I think really there's not much that can be done between now and the midterms that quickly. That's what Bank of America reports. So I think this is a political issue for Biden exclusively. So it's about the blame game at this point. And again, that's why I think they have to obfuscate and change the debate.
And here's National Economic Council Director Brian Deese, for example, saying that the inflation we have, which is a four-decade high, doesn't really reflect the reality, and we should just spend more. Watch.
I think you have to look at the unique situation that we're in as an economy and think about how do we build more supply? How do we increase the productive capacity of our economy so that we actually can supply more goods, bring prices down? We know the answer on semiconductors, exactly. We need more supply of those goods. You were just talking about housing, same issue. Obviously, mortgage rates are going to increase as the Fed continues to tighten. But as we do that, we need to keep home builders building supply. Because we know that at core, the housing issue is a lack of affordable supply. It's been a decade or more in the making, but as we move through this transition, providing incentives, for example, for builders to continue to build affordable homes as we do so, that's out of the traditional box of fiscal, Keynesian fiscal stimulus. It's more about how do we actually invest to build more capability here in the country that will help bring down prices in areas like semiconductors and housing.
What does he think he's saying? It's not even clear. I mean, I can't even tell what he thinks he's trying to get across there. That they're bringing down prices by doing what exactly?
By spending money. Apparently, I wish we could transport this guy back to the 80s. He could get a job in the Reagan administration as a supply side economist, because that's what he's trying to talk about, I think, in an inartful way. But the bottom line is, I wish to hell the Republicans weren't so bad at talking about what this guy is implying, that we need an opportunity society, we need a productive society, we need an ownership society, we need a society where people own houses and own stocks and have investments and have some skin in the game. And the Democrats are the dependency society, they're the welfare society. And I don't know why Republicans are just so bad at this, but they ought to be talking about it nonstop right now.
And so what do you see happening for the next few months going into this midterm election? Because the talking points from the White House, not making a lot of people feel better.
Well, I think they're going to have to put Ukraine on the back burner, because polls show that that's not even the top 5 or 10% concerns for Americans. You got summer vacations being affected by gas prices. You got kids going back to the school in the fall. Maybe they'll try to gin up COVID as an issue again then, but I don't think there's much good that happens. This is a Republican opportunity. There's nothing the Democrats can do, but the Republicans, I'm afraid, are definitely capable of shooting themselves in the foot between now and then.
Never underestimate Republicans' opportunity, or rather Republicans' ability to miss an opportunity. Thanks for being with us.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Farmers in several countries in Europe are taking part in massive anti-government protests against green regulations that are disrupting food production. We have more on that with political commentator Ava Vlaardingbroek when we come back. First, I want to talk to you about protecting your online data. A lot of companies promise your privacy is guaranteed. We know that's not true. That's why you need a new privacy and cybersecurity application tool called Secure. It's spelled S-E-K-U-R. Secure is using proprietary encryption and offering secure instant messaging and email. With Secure, all of your communications based on servers and data centers hosted in Switzerland without using any of the big tech platforms. Privacy is a big issue now. Without real security, people can read your emails, messages, even your bank information. Secure will never mine your data and never ask for your phone number. You can send emails to your doctor, banker, lawyer, anyone else with total confidence you're not being spied on by your internet provider or big tech. Secure is your solution to stop the constant theft of your digital identity. It costs only $5 to the messenger, only $10 to the messenger and email combination package. Go to secure.com and take back your privacy today. That's S-E-K-U-R.com and use promo code BUCK for 25% off. We'll be right back with more Hold the Line. More anti-government protests popping up around the world, this time in the Netherlands. Dutch farmers have formed their own version of Canada's Trucker Freedom Convoy, blocking highways with tractors, setting bales of hay on fire, and taking some pretty serious actions to protest the government's recent goal of cutting emissions, and it could force some farms to close. Joining me with reaction, lawyer and political commentator Eva Vlandingerbroek. Eva, thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
What is going on over there? We're starting to see some of this trickle into the American media. You've had some pretty massive protests, roughly 40,000 gathered in central Netherlands to protest the emissions curbing plan of nitrogen and ammonia starting last month. Take us to the beginning, because a lot of folks, this is the first time they will have heard of this.
Right. Okay. Well, what's happening is that the Dutch government has just passed a law that is going to force the Dutch farmers to cut back 30% of their livestock before 2030. And doing this under the guise of a so-called nitrogen crisis. They're saying the farmers, you know, the cows are causing too much nitrogen emission and ammonia emissions, and therefore we need to shut them down. And, oh, by the way, you're also forced to give us your land. Sounds odd, right? I mean, if someone would come into your house, if the state would come into your house and say, I'm going to take 30% of everything you ever worked for and you have nothing to say about it, I guess you wouldn't be happy either. Well, that's exactly what's happening to our farmers. They're very unhappy about what's happening here. You know, their land, their livelihood, their life's work is being taken away from them. And they're going out on the street to protest and show the government, well, you can't just shut us down this way without us putting up a fight. And they're putting up a pretty courageous fight, I would say.
It's also been remarkable for so many people in the U.S. I know you're Dutch, Eva, but we're all learning that a country that's not very large in terms of square mileage at all is the second largest exporter of agricultural goods in the world. How did that happen?
Yeah, well, the Dutch farmers are very efficient and hard workers. So a lot of that little tiny land that is the Netherlands actually is used for farmland. So a lot of these farmers have family businesses that go back centuries on end. And that's what makes this all the more heart-wrenching, is that a lot of these people are not just losing their livelihood and their business, but they're losing their family heritage that's been in their families for sometimes, like I said, centuries. So we're a very tiny piece of land, but we are very successful at farming. And so we feed, obviously, our own people, but we feed a lot of the world together with you, with America. So the fact that our government is now trying to cut, you know, the farmers' work and their land and their livestock is a really odd move, you know, for just something like nitrogen, especially considering that they're not coming after the airlines, for example. So there has to be a hidden agenda here, and that hidden agenda is quite out in the open, I would say, and that is that the state wants this land to house new immigrants. And they want this land because the farmers stand in the way of the globalist agenda that they have for us, which is basically there's just everyone needs to eat bugs. So,
we've gotten a lot of, American CNN is very fond of the eat meat that's grown in a test tube or eat bugs. Bugs will be delicious. That's what they keep telling us over here. I'm sure it's happening in Europe too. By the way, usually we're always being told about CO2 emissions, nitrogen, yeah, and ammonia. Why is the EU drilling down onto that? You know, usually the climate crazies, it's about CO2 destroying the planet. Nitrogen and ammonia, what's up?
Yeah, well, that's because they want to target the farmers specifically. So this is just, you don't have to take this seriously. This is a cover-up. Anyone who can go on to Google Maps and see the Netherlands, see how tiny it is, and then just think about the fact that the Germans, a much larger country next to us, don't have to implement any of these rules. So what's happening here is just that the state has a hidden agenda, and the Netherlands, just like Canada, for example, is one of the pilot countries for the 2030 agenda, for the Great Reset, for the World Economic Forum. And that's clearly the agenda that's behind this. You know, the farmers are self-sufficient, they're hardworking and independent. And if you as a state want to have control over your citizens, what better way than to control the food supply? So that's what's happening here. This has nothing to do with a real concern for the climate, because there is no real concern.
It was just a few months ago, Ava, I'm sure you saw that the Canadian government, under the leadership of the, in my mind, singularly awful Justin Trudeau, attacked its own citizens in an authoritarian manner during the Truckers Freedom Convoy. It was about vaccine mandates in Canada. The government actually froze the bank accounts of anyone who joined to try to help in those peaceful protests, by the way. Are you seeing similarity in tactics from the Dutch government in the ways they're trying to shut this down? First of all, was the trucker convoy essentially an inspiration for the tractor convoy in the Netherlands, but also in the government response, have you seen the same kind of heavy-handed tactic?
Oh, absolutely, yes. I mean, the farmers that are out in the street right now have made references to the Freedom Convoy in Canada, so they're definitely saying they felt inspired by it. I do have to give them some credit, though. They already had these types of protests in 2019. So the farmers are a group that have, you know, basically resisted this agenda for a long time, but now even more forcefully. On the other hand, yes, also talking about forcefully, the Dutch police has cracked down on the protesters very harshly. These video images have gone viral all over the world, where you see them actually shoot at a tractor that's driving away from the protest. And that tractor was being driven by a 16-year-old boy. They nearly shot and killed him. So this is not something that we're used to seeing in our pacifist, free, Western, liberal democracy that's supposed to be my country. So I think what we're seeing is that that the state coming down on its own citizens, like we've seen with COVID, like we've seen now, what we're seeing now with the Dutch farmers. What they do is they create a crisis. They say, we need to solve this, you know, be it the COVID crisis, be it the climate crisis, and you ordinary people are going to pay the price for it, and you are going to have to give up your rights.
You said something earlier I wanted to return to for a moment here, Ava, about the intentions of the Dutch government with this land that would go to the Dutch government from the farmers, which is shocking enough on its own. Here's some of those farmers telling what they think is going on.
Essentially a last stand for you, that you have nothing to lose here, right? Because you would have to close down shop because of the regulations.
Yeah, we have nothing to lose, exactly. They just want to remove the farmers from the land. And I don't know why, but yeah. Wow. It's crazy plans probably, and I think I know why, because they want to build houses. And they want the field of the farmers, which they can build houses on.
I support the farmers. I really support it. It's our food. Yeah. It's their food future. And our government, they want to put refugees on their land because our borders are wide open, just like yours in the south. Just it's too much. And the Dutch people, they have to wait 15 years to be able to get a house for rent. And all these people from Ukraine, North Africa, they're welcome. And they are they get a house before us.
Tell us more about this. I mean, you're Dutch. You had some Dutch citizens there. Is there, first of all, a major housing crunch shortage in general? And where does this idea about housing the refugees on the land come from?
Yeah, no, the woman that was speaking and the farmer that you saw in the video images were completely right. I mean, we're a very tiny piece of land, like I said. The Netherlands is very small, but we're also incredibly densely populated. So we have almost 19 million people on that little piece of land. And so we do have a housing problem, and that housing problem is caused by mass migration. There is no denying that. You know, the Dutch population is not growing because of, you know, the fact that the Dutch people are making a lot of children. It's because the immigrants are coming at a fast rate. Our borders are not protected. We have mass migration that's been going on for years. And she's right. The housing that is built, the social housing, goes to refugees and migrants first. So I know firsthand stories of people who have been on social waiting lists for 10 years, and then they see themselves drop again because a new wave of refugees comes into that particular village. So that is true. And that's even been acknowledged in state documentation that they need this land to build new houses for newcomers. So can you imagine the frustration that causes with people who never voted for this, and that you're just supposedly, you know, you have to just give up your work and your land and your property for a policy that you never even wanted in the first place.
Fascinating stuff, Ava. Troubling stuff as well. Thank you for telling us about this, and we'll be in touch as the story unfolds.
Thank you.
With the overturning of Roe v. Wade, the radical pro-abortion left has begun attacking crisis pregnancy centers, which offer expectant mothers an alternative to the termination of their pregnancies. So what's behind the attacks? We'll ask the Daily Wire's Mary Margaret Olihan coming up. First, let's talk about protecting your most valuable asset, your home. I don't know if you saw this, but there was a recent story about an Arizona real estate agent that found the home she lived in was listed for sale. Problem was, she wasn't selling her home. She was the victim of home title fraud, a devastating crime happening all over the country. According to the experts at Home Title Lock, the crime is incredibly profitable and hard to detect. An identity thief simply creates a fake title transfer for your home and refiles as the new owner. Then he can take out loans on your home or sell it. Typical identity theft services don't cover you, and neither does homeowners insurance. Home Title Lock does. Home Title Lock puts a barrier around your home's title. The instant they detect anyone tampering with your home's title, they help shut it down and help get your home back in your name. So go to HomeTitleLock.com today, register your address to see if you're already a victim and don't even know it. And when you protect your home, tell them Buck sent you to get 30 free days of protection. HomeTitleLock.com. Again, that's HomeTitleLock.com. We'll be right back with more Hold the Line. Crisis pregnancy centers service millions of expecting mothers every year, providing counseling, medical services, and even baby formula and clothes. But now Senator Elizabeth Warren of Massachusetts is leading a charge to have these centers shut down. Here's Warren just yesterday.
In Massachusetts right now, those crisis pregnancy centers that are there to fool people who are looking for pregnancy termination help outnumber true abortion clinics by 3-1. We need to shut them down here in Massachusetts, and we need to shut them down all around the country. You should not be able to torture a pregnant person like that.
Pregnant person, notice, not even a woman. What's behind this obvious and somewhat psychopathic hostility toward crisis pregnancy centers? Join me to discuss, reporter at the Daily Wire, Mary Margaret Olihan. Mary, thanks for being with us.
Thanks so much for having me.
So tell me, if you would, what the heck is going on with Elizabeth Warren here? I mean, it's one thing if she wants to go around saying we need as many abortion clinics set up as possible. I think that's wrong and evil, but put that aside for a second. She's not okay with crisis pregnancy centers? Why?
She's not okay with them. And honestly, this is a very revealing clip because it reveals something that we've been saying, a lot of people have been saying for a long time, that is that these pro-abortion advocates aren't really interested in helping women who are pregnant. They're not really interested in helping pregnant mothers. What they're interested in is pushing abortion advocacy because these pro-life centers, they literally exist to give women diapers, to give women vitamins. They give them car seats and clothing. I shared pictures earlier today of one of the crisis pregnancy centers that I've gone to on Capitol Hill. It is completely filled with children's clothing in the basement, shoes, literature to help women to figure out what to do with their lives, to how to get a job, how to care for their kids, how to be a good mom. And yet Elizabeth Warren is saying we need to shut them all down. It's very, very revealing.
Here's the Massachusetts Attorney General Maura Healey in a tweet warning about crisis pregnancy center. She wrote, abortion is and will remain legal in Massachusetts. Nothing the Supreme Court has said impacts appointments in our state. If you're pregnant and looking to understand your options, beware of crisis pregnancy centers that try to prevent people from accessing abortion care. First of all, I would like to note that it is abortion centers, abortion clinics that always brand themselves as women's health centers, as if that has to, you know, why not just say abortion center, right? I mean, if you're doing abortion, Planned Parenthood shutting down in states that don't have abortion anymore, why can't they just do all the other 97% of things they claim to do? Because we all know why, but it's just worth noting that reality. But in what way do crisis pregnancy centers prevent somebody from getting abortion care?
No, it's a very disingenuous line of commentary, because what they're trying to suggest is that these centers exist and are somehow malicious and out to get these women that want abortions, when the reality is that a lot of these centers are run by women who literally devote their lives to saying, here, how can I help you today? You, woman in distress that has a crisis pregnancy, what can I give you? And it is the most evil twisting of the facts when you think about how selfless these women are. A lot of the time, we all know they're all pro-life, but they're not going to tell these women, they're not going to imprison them and not let them get abortions. What they're there for is to provide support. And actually, they provide support after the woman has a baby, too. They give them help, them, their husbands, their boyfriends, they offer help and resources. We even know that there are maternity houses for these run by these pro-life women who can shelter these pregnant mothers up to like 3 years after they have the baby. But then you have officials in Massachusetts saying that they're somehow out to get these pregnant women, and it could not be further from the truth. It's just, it's a very malicious line of questioning.
And not only do we have Elizabeth Warren, who really seems to have a kind of hatred for these crisis pregnancy centers, because she's talked about this a few times. It seems like this is something that has become deeply personal to her, the idea that there could be someone helping women that isn't thinking the only way to help them is to tell them to eliminate the baby in their womb. But here, for example, this is now spread also into anti-crisis pregnancy center activity all across the country in places where abortion has a lot of advocates. Here's a picture of the Capitol Hill Crisis Pregnancy Center that was vandalized. There have been pro-life and crisis pregnancy center organizations, or pro-life organizations and crisis pregnancy centers that have been, I believe, set on fire, have been attacked. We're not hearing a lot about this, Mary Margaret. Do we know some sense of what the extent of these attacks has been?
There have been so many attacks. Catholic Vote, the organization, has been really good at detailing how many attacks. There's over 30 now, I believe. The Susan B. Anthony list is tracking them as well. You won't hear about them from the mainstream media. And in fact, you won't hear about them from Democratic lawmakers. I've asked many of them myself. I asked AOC the day that Roe v. Wade was overturned if she would condemn pro-abortion violence against these organizations and centers. She wouldn't say anything. She wouldn't address it. All Democrats and politicians and a lot of these activists are uninterested in addressing this violence, because in doing so, they have to say, no, we condemn these attacks on these pro-life centers, and then they have to address what the pro-life centers do, and they don't want to touch that. All they want to say is that these centers exist to deter and to shame women, and they don't want to have to talk about what they actually do, which is serve and support women.
Here is the counsel for one of these pregnancy centers, crisis pregnancy centers, senior counsel Aaron Hawley, talking about what they do and how they help women. Watch.
Pregnancy care centers, they're not fake centers. In 2019, they served 1.85 million families, provided $266 million worth of goods, of car seats, of baby formula, which is surprisingly hard to get, of diapers, of the things that women really need. They also provide emotional counseling. They provide fatherhood training, housing, educational training, things that can enable women to survive and thrive.
So does Elizabeth Warren ever talk about how all of those obviously essential things, right? I think everyone knows a baby needs baby formula, for example. We've learned this because of the Biden baby formula shortage in recent months. Where would the shortfall, where would they make up for the shortfall here if they shut down these centers?
It's baffling. You know, you don't know what tree she's even barking up, because you're right. If these centers disappear, well, that leaves a massive gap in this ecosystem of pro-lifers who are out there to help women and support women through these clinics. Planned Parenthood's not doing that. Planned Parenthood's basement is not stuffed with baby clothes and diapers and porta-cribs. That's not what they're there for.
Obvious reasons, yeah.
Right. And the Planned Parenthood profits from abortions. These pro-life centers do not profit from abortions. They're there to help people. So it's a very obvious conundrum we have here, where Planned Parenthood is profiting and the pro-life centers are not. And so Elizabeth Warren herself, as a mother, it's baffling to hear her talk in this way. You know, I would love to ask her, and I'd love to ask a lot of other Democratic politicians, Are you happy about all these babies that aren't going to be aborted because Roe was overturned? Are you happy? What should we do to help all these women who are going to have babies now? But they're not interested in discussing that kind of thing.
All right, Margaret, thanks for being with us. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
President Biden landed in Israel, and one of the first questions he posed to his handlers was, what am I doing? I don't know, Mr. President. We're all wondering the same thing, actually. That story and more coming up in Quick Hits. Joe Biden yells at yet another reporter, and Fauci says it is time to mask up indoors again. Let's get to Quick Hits. Joe Biden was held up for so many years by Democrats as this grandfatherly figure who just knows the folks, just has the common touch, big grin, Irish charm, all this stuff. That's not true. Joe Biden's a jerk. Joe Biden has a short temper. Joe Biden yells at people. Joe Biden doesn't seem like a very nice guy at all. He can fake nice, but then again, can't every politician? And Joe Biden, for example, today was asked, it's a very straightforward question, and it's rooted in the reality of what is going on within the Democratic Party right now. The Democratic Party doesn't want Joe Biden to be their candidate the next time around because they think he's really weak. Joe Biden's response to that is, well, if I, in the polls, line up against a Republican, Democrats will still vote for me. But yeah, Joe, that's not the point, because to win an election, unless you're just going to like stuff ballot boxes and do illegal shenanigans, you have to get independents, you have to get swing voters, you have to get people who are undecided to switch over to you. And even Democrats know that's not going to happen for Joe Biden because he sucks at this job of being president. Biden doesn't like to hear that, though. So instead of even just letting this roll off his back or ignoring it, which are always options open to any president, he decided to get into it, make a fool of himself. Watch.
Mr. President, what's your message to Democrats who don't want you to run again?
They want me to run.
Two-thirds say they don't.
Read the polls. Read the polls, Jack. You guys are all the same. That poll showed that 92% of Democrats, if I ran, would vote for me.
A majority of Democrats say they don't want you to run again in 2024. 92%
said if I did, they'd vote for me.
He doesn't understand how elections even work at the national level because he's just the empty vessel through which they were able to achieve power with the help of the media apparatus and its endless lies about how horrible Trump is and how great Biden will be. I don't still believe that anymore. Biden's an imbecile. Irene Armendariz is a congressional candidate in Texas. And she had some words for Jill Biden about the First Lady's taco comments earlier this week. Watch this one.
Hi, it's Irene Armendariz Jackson, and here in Texas 16, it's Taco Tuesday, and I have a message for Jill Biden. You may think Hispanics are unique as a taco, but I actually found the perfect taco for Joe Biden. See, it's just a shell.
I mean, A for effort, you know? Give her an A for effort. Biden has landed in Israel. He's in the middle of this Mideast tour. Remember, he's going to be going to the Saudis to basically say, hey, can you guys pump some more oil? We could really use some more oil right now. Which is interesting because it wasn't long ago that Biden was talking about how awful the Saudis were and how Trump is way too close with the Saudi leadership, etc. Well, when Biden landed in Israel, here is what he asked his handlers.
What am I doing now?
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. What we got going on here, folks. What am I doing now? And then there's Fauci, who certainly knows what he wants you to do. He wants you to mask up indoors. Watch the Fauci.
Well, as the CDC makes it very clear, depending upon the density of infection and the dynamics of infection in the place where you live, and you see, if you look at the map, where just a couple of months ago it was a lot of green and some yellow, now we're seeing a fair amount of orange, which means you really should, in an indoor setting, a congregate setting, be wearing masks. It's just the appropriate thing to do to protect yourself and your family.
Masks do not work. How many times do we have to go over this, Fauci? All of the data, all of the metrics, everywhere around the world makes this obvious that they do not stop the spread of this virus. But this is a religious belief now for libs and for the neurotics out there, for the hypochondriacs of the world. Fauci is the absolute worst, folks, and he's not done. That's it for tonight's Hold the Line. The No Spin News with Bill O'Reilly is next. Shields high.
Since 9/11, the Tunnel to Towers Foundation has been committed to improving the lives of America's veterans, first responders, and their families. For over 20 years, the foundation has helped America keep its solemn promise to never forget. Tunnel to Towers provides mortgage-free homes to Gold Star families and the families of fallen first responders with young children, and builds specially adapted smart homes for catastrophically injured veterans, as well as work to eradicate veteran homelessness. David Marshall served in the Army during World War II and fought in the Battle of the Bulge. He's never forgotten the sacrifices of his comrades in arms, nor the efforts of first responders on 9/11 and in the days and months that followed. He is a loyal and proud foundation donor. Tunnel to Towers is committed to supporting veterans, first responders, and their families, and so many of them need your help. Join the foundation on its mission to do good and never forget. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at t2t.org. That's t2t.org.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how to get comfortable with fear and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern.
People say, what are you afraid of, right? I'm afraid of fear because it's like I want to confront anything in my life that feels challenging on those levels.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get ready for Smart Money Happy Hour. Pull up a chair. It's the happy hour you wish your friends were having.
Mix two money experts with some hot takes and a splash of nostalgia, and you get me, George Campbell.
And me, Rachel Cruz, talking unfiltered about what's going on in the world, pop culture, and how to afford a life you love.
We're talking money, celebrity budgets, and my budget for my two French bulldogs. It's a lot.
You'll hear it all on Smart Money Happy Hour. Listen on the iHeart app or wherever you get your podcasts.